Everybody else, I...
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of me, and he was talking to Mops and Joe. Where the party gonna hell? Out in the St. John's Swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great.
Outstanding. If I was doing any better, I'd be sitting in a truck up in the mountains hunting Bigfoot. Oh, wait a minute. That's what we're doing.
Trying to get a signal, right?
You know, that's it. You have to drive around here a little bit over there. That comes in a couple bars, and then maybe I should go back over there. But as the wind blows, the signal kind of blows through and picks up and so you have to excuse me if I get dropped. I'll dial right back in, I promise, everybody out there listening. You know, it's been a heck of a week so far, Marco. We went down to Alabama, got Rob and the team, and moved up into Missouri where we met some great folks. Finally got to meet my buddy Mike and Jeff down in Missouri there where the – had some sightings, and we got to check out the area, and we went and got picked up by 29.9 ABC out there who came out and did a story on us, and we found some caves where we think the creature's possibly, you know, using as a place to hide or migrate through. What blows me away is the area that Jeff took us to. And that was the scout leader that was on last week, folks. And
yeah.
He there was this lake where these creatures could come and sit, rest, relax, chill out in between little migration routes, and, you know, saw some of the deep ravines and the rocks, and it was just wonderful. And then also, you know, Mike down there, he's just a wonderful guy. He's got, heaven on earth for, you know, what he's got out there, out in the middle of Missouri out there, and lots of sign, and, you know, heard some stories about, you know, some of the extra action that was happening from the previous week. And, you know, it's kind of slowed down, I guess he said, but, you know, I think something about there was some wood knocking going on a few nights after he was on the show. And we got a great show tonight. We've got a lot of guests. Who do we got on for tonight, Marco?
Oh, well, we got Dustin from Florida and Jody. And I have to see Christy dial in yet, but she'll be on, I'm sure. So Dustin, Jody, and Kristen.
All right. Well, we got Rocky on. I want to.
Rocky's here.
Unmute him. And just want to kind of talk a little bit about what we've been, you know, going on up here. And, you know, he's got a few things to say about the area and what the loggers are doing.
Yeah, Rocky, you're there, buddy.
Hey.
You know, Rocky, I'm just as disappointed as you with the clear cutting that's going on here in Arkansas and what it's doing to the creature's migratory path. And, well, heck, I mean, we didn't even see any hogs out there, huh?
No, we didn't see very much wildlife. We barely even recognized our little area.
Yeah, it blows me away that, I mean, it's national forest. I don't understand how they get the rights to get up there and start clear cutting and, you know, disrupting the migratory path of not only our creature but all the other creatures down there. I mean, you've been hunting there for, you know, many years, and, you know, like I said, it was a devoid of any kind of life except for some flying birds. I mean, no pigs, no coos, no creatures down there. I mean, even the ducks that were normally in the lake dead weren't even there.
Well, there was plenty of sign, but, I mean, a track's no good if there's nothing standing in it.
Exactly. So why don't you tell me what you feel about all that going on up there?
I was so surprised, because places that we used to could just barely walk through, I can drive my truck through now. I mean, I thought that, you know, when it got to the point that we were actually able to get through on our four-wheelers, I thought that was, you know, that was just almost too much. But some of the places that we used to barely get through on our four-wheeler, I mean, now then it's almost like a highway.
Yeah. I mean,
and
the area that... Go ahead.
We got to Lake Dead from the campsite all the way through to the bottoms faster than I've ever done it before.
Yeah, just blows me away that, well, I mean, like you said, it took us normally a couple hours to walk that trail to get to Lake Dead. Now you can drive it. I don't know, what it take us, 15 minutes, if that?
Maybe.
You know, and we get to the backside there, and all we heard was, you know, the chainsaws and the tractors and seeing the big rigs pulling trees out of there. And it's just, it's amazing how everything changes in just, God, we've been going up there now 5 years, I'm guessing, Rocky?
I've been going there for 20-something years.
Yeah, well, us together, I think 5, maybe 6 years?
Yeah, about 5 years.
You know, and there was at one point in time that me, you, and Doyle, we had some heavy action up there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
we, that was back when we could only walk to the lake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just so you know, TJ, Doyle is on.
Oh, is he? Well, bring him in here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, let me unmute him.
Oh, hey, Rocky. Hey, TJ. How you guys doing?
Thanks for joining us, Doyle. We were just talking about you, and, you know, we were talking about the experience you, me, and Rocky had a few years back, and I mean, I was hoping maybe you could kind of recollect a little bit and share a little bit.
Oh, man, it was just crazy. It was, we were up there in, the Ozark Mountains, and, of course, if you don't know Rocky Slavin, then
Ooh.
You don't know nobody, because that is one great son of a bitch, I'll just tell you right now. He is just incredible.
You know.
But I'll tell you what, we were up there in the Ozark Mountains one night. We were camping, and I'll tell you that, and I've talked to you guys, y'all had never built a fire before to attract a Bigfoot. And I've talked to y'all into building a fire. And I thought that that would help. You know, I said something, you know, if you build a fire, so things are going to come around, whatever. But me and Rocky were sitting there talking, and TJ was sitting there talking, and we built us a big campfire. And TJ went out and got all the wood and everything, you know, and we had this big campfire going and the rocks all around it so it wouldn't escape and burn the woods down, you know. I'll be damned if the thing that I've never seen in all my days, a campfire. Did y'all know that you can make a campfire so hot that a rock will explode?
We were talking. Funny. We were talking
and
about
it destroys
that.
Lots of camp chairs.
We were sitting there, and the biggest explosion that ever came, hell, I thought somebody threw a hand grenade in the camp.
Yep.
These rocks started exploding, and TJ was sitting there in his little camp chair, and Rocky was too, but TJ kept from being castrated by about a half an inch.
Yeah.
But later in the night, here's where I'm getting to. I was just trying to tell that old comical story. But later in the night, as we were there, and I think it was me and Rocky still sitting up by the campfire, we heard something that came through the woods. That was nothing but pure primate. Was it not, Rocky?
At 12:08.
At 12:08.
Time, yeah.
The midnight hour.
You bet. And it was just about enough to make a man soil his britches. I didn't.
I've never heard nothing like it in my life. This thing comes through there, and it comes through the woods at the speed of lightning. And it's making this primate yell. And I look at Rocky, and Rocky looks at me, and we both go about ghost white. And I'm like, Rocky, these are your woods. I said, what is that? He said, I have no idea, did you, Rock?
Yeah, I said, you said, what was it? And I said, I do not know. And you said, that's not what I wanted you to say.
So we had Tommy asleep in the back of the truck. We tried to wake him up, and he's like, why? Yeah. So TJ comes out of the back of the truck. He's like, what's going on? And we're like, we just now heard something that ain't right. And we caught that damn thing on audio because I had a digital audio recorder. Yep. And we caught that thing, and if I'm not mistaken, Tommy, is that still not on the website?
That's on the website, searchingforbigfoot.com. Where, I don't remember anymore, but I'm sure I think it might be, like, in one of the links or something on there, yeah.
Yeah, it's on the website.
Or on the YouTube site, maybe. It's over there now, I don't know. But it's up there. You're right, Doyle.
But if you want to hear something that's not of Ozark Mountain heritage, you can listen to this thing. And it sounds like a damn ape coming through the woods. And I can tell you right now, there ain't nobody better experienced than Rocky Slavin. They can tell you. He's a woodsman up there. And he can tell you he's never heard nothing like that, have you, Rock?
Yeah, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I got a skit tonight. Yeah, I forgot all about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's okay. Good night. We'll see
but that was my, I guess that was my closest experience to something that is not of this earth that I ever heard. And I've been raised in the woods. Trust me. I've been cornbred and fed and raised in the country in Kentucky. And I've been everywhere I can go, and I can tell you every animal in the woods, and I can tell you what it sounds like. But now, they may be something different, but there's nothing that I ever heard that sounds like a chimpanzee or some kind of a primate animal in no woods I ever been in. We heard it that night, didn't we? We recorded it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think if it was the second night or the third night. Right.
It was the second night.
Second
oh, no.
I was doing right. Night watch. I was doing night watch, and Rocky stayed up with me.
Okay, that was the night that we heard it first. The
yep.
next night it rained, and the night after that it happened again. At I think it was 12:17, on the other side of the camp.
Right, as I remember, as I rode in the, I was doing the story on the website. I was typing it in and sending it in every day, and I called it the Bewitching Hour. It's midnight.
Yep.
At midnight, you had to start listening, because that's when it was coming out. And I'm telling you what, if you want something to make the hair on the back of your neck stand up, go to the Ozark Mountains on the dirt road to Dutt. Am I wrong, Rocky?
Yep. No, you're right. That's the place to go.
If you're on the dirt road to Dutton at midnight, you will hear something that sounds completely unearthly to anything that we're used to in these woods. It's crazy. I mean, right now it raises the hair on the back of my neck when I thought, because
well, you know,
there was something that was not of that woods that was in there that night.
You know, I was raised in the woods around here. me and my buddy the Swede have been going out to that same area for over 20 years. And I never, ever heard anything quite like that. No, better still, I've never heard anything that sounded anything like that.
It was primate. I mean, it was primate. It was a woo. Kind of a, I can't describe it, but yeah, there's it. That's it.
There you go,
TJ. You got it. That's it. It was like an ape.
Yep.
And the last time I checked, there ain't no apes in those Ark Mountains. last time
well,
I checked, there wouldn't.
Well. There may be a few at the White Star Tavern, but not out in the woods.
Oh, goodness. You know, Noah, I wish you were up here with us, Dole. This is a great, great spot, like I said, but the logging's starting to, I think, destroy it, which maybe thinking to me that the migrational route's going to switch a little bit east or west, and we're probably going to have to move on down to our jump-off spot down there near the Wachita, am I saying it right? National Forest.
Oh.
You know, down that area there, and hopefully see if we can pick them up there. But, you know, we're on expedition, folks. We're traveling the country.
Hey, man, I miss you guys. I hate because of my work. I can't be with you right now.
Yeah.
But, daggone, boys, I miss you all. I miss y'all. I miss being out there in the woods with you.
This morning, I woke up and I was walking around swatting the gnats and everything. And I said, I had a pistol in my hand, and I said, I think I'm going to call Doyle and fire a gun over the phone just to be sure that, you know, he's awake.
The old Arkansas Gravely, yeah. Let me tell everybody out there, let me tell you a story about Rocky Slave and the famous bear wrestler. If you don't believe he ever wrestled a bear, go to YouTube.com. And look up Rocky Slavin wrestles a bear.
Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth?
You know, TJ, I got Leo on too.
Leo, what's up? You know.
Want me to put him on?
Yeah, bring him in. It's been a few weeks. See how Leo's doing. Leo, you well?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to tell you my other Rocky Slavin story, though.
Well, go right ahead. We're going to bring Leo in also.
All right, bring Leo in. But Rocky Slavin, whenever I was
Leo,
over there on my first expedition with the team.
I'm here.
And we were in the Ozark Mountains. And we were over there and Rocky Slavin was there. The first morning, I took night watch, and the next morning, I was asleep whenever they woke up. And Rocky Slavin fired a .44 Magnum right by my ear to wake me up. And I jumped up and I said, "You goddamn redneck, that's an Arkansas Reveille." And I coined that phrase. That's an Arkansas Reveille. Okay, and I said, "Rocky," I jumped up and I said, "You promise me you'll never do that again." He said, "I swear to God." He said, "I'll never do that to you again."
Did you not say that, Rocky?
I said, "I will never fire a .44 Magnum over your head again."
Right. Next morning, after I took night watch, Rocky Slavin fired a .357 Magnum over my head the next morning. And I jumped up and I was, hell, I like to shit my pants. And I said, "God damn it, Rocky." I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "You promised you wouldn't do it no more." He said, "I didn't." He said, "I fired a .357 over your head this morning." So let me tell you something. When you guys go Bigfoot hunting with these boys, you better watch yourself because they will get you in the end.
Well, we just wanted to be sure that you was going to get up and drink coffee with us.
Oh, yeah. We got up and drank coffee. You need Hormel chili and...
Yeah, wonderful field food, right? Corn chips, Hormel chili, and Spam.
Spam. Spam and Hormel chili. Oh, yeah. If you can't eat Spam and Hormel chili, you don't need to go Bigfoot hunting.
Well, let me finish that story for you, going real fast here. You actually told him, "Don't you ever, you promised me you'll never fire a gun over my head again." And so you kept your promise. Next morning, Rocky handed me a 457 Casull?
A 357, Michael.
It was a 357.
357? And he said,
"Yeah,
Tommy, I promised Dahl I wouldn't shoot a gun over his head anymore, but you're not me. Here."
That's true. The next morning, I got night watch. The next morning, Tommy Viscardi, TJ, woke me up with a 9mm shot above my head.
Yep. We kept him busy that weekend. You know, Dahl, wonderful. Hey, Leo, you out there, brother?
Hey, I'm here, brother. How y'all doing, man?
Man, brother, you know, we're on the road. We're doing our thing and putting the miles on the Blue Beast. And we're doing a little filming while we're out here, trying to catch up on this second movie we're doing, you know, Burial Ground. I know we're going to be coming out and seeing you. And I'm just glad you called in. I haven't talked to you in a while. So anything there by you?
Well, I hadn't. First of all, I want to apologize. I hadn't been on the show for 2 weeks. For those have been watching CNN and watching the news, we had a tornado to touch down here in Greensboro that took out half of the city.
No, I didn't know.
So I've been out. Yeah, I've been out of commission for a little while. You know, cause of assisting with my job with the disaster area. It came through, did some damage. So I know a couple of times I text Marco and let him know that, you know, we had some problems here, man. I mean, it was devastation. So I'm back on track now, man. I've been talking to the ladies in Asheville. I know they called me and they're trying to get me up there. And I told them let me get straight. You know, after this tornado just hit, let me get situated and. I told him I might ride up there. I told him I definitely the team will be coming. And I told him I'll probably see him in the next month or so. But it's been a lot of activities been going on up in Asheville from what I understand. I think it's been some activity going on in Uwari Forest. I've been looking on websites and newspaper articles and some campers that had some pretty scary moments down in Uwari, so I'm planning on going back down that way and maybe try to get up with Mike Green. And Mike Green is still, I know he's had some downtimes. I'm gonna try to get up with Mike and see if we can go out there and scare up something for you guys to get this way.
Well, you know, brother, you know, we're all big part of one big family, and you know, Mike's had some health issues also, so we'd like to wish him a little well being there. But I didn't know there was a tornado in Greensboro. I didn't see nothing on the news, but I've been out here for a while on the road. Did it tear up a big off, or what happened?
Oh man, it's believe it or not, if you go on the internet, just look up tornado strikes Greensboro, and the bad part about it, this tornado started in South Carolina, and it did a hop and skip all the way up to Randolph County, Montgomery County, where the Uwari Forest is. It came all the way up to Greensboro, so it was a pretty scary night, man. And it's been a couple of weeks, but. We bounced back. Everything is good. I'm getting ready to put my boots back on the ground and start Bigfoot hunting. But, you know, on a lighter note, the funniest thing, Dahl, when he was talking about the spam, and we was in Uwari Forest, and OTJ cooked up the spam for in the morning. And, man, we ate so much spam, we got back. I went to the grocery store, and when I got back from the expedition with TJ, and my wife said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm buying spam. I got immune to it by now." so I got to
love the spam, brother. Gotta love the spam.
So I got a cabinet full of spam here at the house. So and look, the only thing I'm missing is the pork and beans.
Well, you know, we went to the store, and before we went out, you know, you wouldn't believe how much different flavors of spam there are now. There's salt and pepper. There's pep regular flavor. There's bacon-flavored spam.
Bacon.
Jalapeno spam.
You have jalapeno spam. I mean, I was just blown away by all the different flavors. I was like, wow, this is like Breakfast of Champions for the spam lovers in the world, you know. But, you know,
Hey, Rocky, I introduced them to the to the doggone Marine Corps pizza. I got some spam, some peanut butter and bread. That was good.
No, you ain't had no pizza till you had Rocky Slavin's pizza, baby. Rocky Slavin's spam pizza is the best in the world.
Okay, we gotta hit a commercial real fast. We're kind of going on. I gotta hit a commercial, pay some bills. Marco, cut that commercial. We'll come on back and finish up with the guys, and we'll move on to one of our next guests.
Okay, we'll come back. We'll put on Dustin.
Sounds good. Thank you, Leo. We'll stay on. We'll bring you back in.
Yes, sir.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we are back.
All righty. Well, you know, folks, I just got to start to think about Christy. You know, we met Christy here the last couple days. We've spent some time with this outstanding mountain woman from Arkansas. And she's a trooper. What do you think, Rocky? I know she can hang even longer with us. You know that?
I'm sorry?
Christy. She's a true Arkansas mountain woman. What do you think?
I'm going for that.
You know, she came out here the last couple nights with us and been out here in the weather and the heat, the bugs and the gnats, and you know, a lot of people complain, but not she's gotta give my hats off to that gal. She's one hell of a gal, and she's welcome to come out with us everywhere. And folks, you know, whenever we're in the area where you're at, we're it's an open policy. You know, you come eat what we eat, sleep where we sleep, and we'll show you how to Bigfoot hunt and how to search, and research, investigate an area, because that's what we do. And, you know, as we're on the road here, we're going to be getting off to Florida real soon to get out there and finally meet up with Dustin in the areas where he's been talking about. How you doing tonight, Dustin?
Hey, TJ, I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Brother, you know, I told Marco, if I had to do any better, I'd have to get out of a truck, pop a few tires, and get myself stuck up in the Ozarks. You know, don't get no better than that.
That sounds like a good time.
Yeah, you know, it's a long time on the road, but you know, getting out there looking for the creature—that's our passion. That's the thing we care about, and you know, getting across country and meeting up with great people and, you know, hanging out with them and learning a little bit from each other. Like I said, man, coming down to Florida, hope we're not going to have any tornadoes or anything weird while we're out there Bigfoot hunting like Leo was having up in North Carolina.
Yeah, I got to send some prayers out to him. Yeah, that sounds you know, like it was pretty rough. Hopefully the storms will stay away and be nice weather.
Yeah. So I was actually reading something a few days ago, and I'm trying to think. Your Christian Publishing was promoting your book somewhere, weren't they?
Yeah, Christian Faith Publishing.
Yeah.
On AM 980, the Mission radio station. Uh-huh. Yeah, they had
okay.
An author's roundtable, and they did an interview with me about the book. So it went pretty well. They're pretty interested in just getting me. What's that?
Is that the first or the second book?
Oh, that was on the first book. Well, we just did a revision on it, and it's being re-released. Mm-hmm. And they did some work with frame shots that are in the book, and they look
mm-hmm.
a lot better now. I didn't have good software. And when I submitted the first pictures, I got some Adobe Premiere Pro and then looked at them and got some frame shots that are like night and day different from the way it was recently published.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
So, what's anything happening down by your area? Did you check those camera traps you set out?
I haven't looked at the camera traps, but me and my buddy Kevin were sitting there thinking we figured out where they got to be bedding. Well,
mm-hmm.
we've known them to bed there before, and we were thinking about how they might migrate and stuff, and what we've been talking about, and we were thinking, there's this area no one gets into. It's real thick. And
tell us about it.
I don't know. It's about, you know, about 10 to 14 foot high, probably. It's a, like, replanted pines area that's, I don't know, maybe 5 to 7, 8 years old now, and when it was only, like, waist high to chest high, we'd walk through there and jump deer and stuff out of there. We found a nesting site of these animals
mm-hmm.
out there, and there was no other big trees around there, but they took a couple big sweet gum branches from the main woods that they came around with, and they had these big branches out in that area where they had knocked down all the goldenrods and stuff in between these planted pines. Like, they had about a 15-20 foot area all matted down where they'd been laying and stuff, and they left a couple of these big branches out there. Well, now it's grown up to the point where nobody would walk through there. I mean, couldn't see nothing, you know, and it's just got to be loaded with everything, from bugs, snakes, deer, hogs, and these animals are out there, but you can't see, and I wouldn't want to walk in there. It's a really big area, but, man, we want to fly a drone over there. That's what I was going to ask you, if you have a drone at all. We're going to bring one. If you don't got one, we're going to get one way or another, so I can show you where this nest was, because I don't know. I don't want to walk out in there and stuff, but we could definitely see down in what it looks like, because they might be using the same nest still. We're talking, if they're out there, they could move around in the daylight with their young ones and stuff, and nobody would ever
mm-hmm.
see them. Nobody's going in there at all.
Huh.
It's right up the hill from this big ravine I've been telling you about. This water flows out of the Apalachicola River, then flows back, like, parallel along with the river down through the woods in this big, steep ravine, then up the other side, up through the woods a little bit, up the hills, this big planted pines area is where it's real, you know, real thick. Like, you don't want to walk through there at all. The only way through there is on a game trail, you know, but it's a large area, so.
We're going to have to fly over it, man, and see what's going on. So, man.
Well, you know, I guess we're going to have to do that. So how good are you at flying a drone?
I've never done it. That's the thing. That's why I was wondering how much experience you might have.
You know what? I have. I'm not too good with it. But as long as there's not too much wind, I think we could get some pictures with it. No problem.
My buddy Kevin, you got one?
We do, but we're going to have to. We actually wrecked it, so we're going to have to get it fixed or pick up another one along the way coming towards you.
Well,
that just tells you how
Kevin's son, his son Blake had one, but he said it's not that good one, but he wants to get a better one. His buddy's made some commercials for Mountain Dew and stuff, and he's filmed with drones before. He said he might have him come along with us, or he's definitely going to take him up there to the property, but he lives farther south Florida. I don't know that. I've talked to him. We all was talking one day about making some kind of video, but I said, flying them drones, man, you need to come fly over the property and see what we can see in the daylight out there. I think they're right out there to tell you the truth.
As long as the wind's not too high, I could possibly do it without breaking another drone.
Yeah.
You know, I can get it up, I can forward and backwards, but the wind comes, I just don't have the control or the dexterity to fight back on it and keep it level where it's supposed to be. Otherwise, it'd go blowing around over to someone else's house into a tree. You never know. But, God dang, dude, I'm excited about this because if they're hiding in there, that we're going to have to get in there. But we definitely want to put a drone up there first, I'm guessing. Absolutely.
Yeah, man, I don't know how you'd get in there. I mean, we used to walk through it, but, man, we could. I mean, there's huge game trails that go off this one feeder from the deer stuff coming out of there and going down into the woods where you could start on it. Man, I don't know.
How about gators? Do we have to worry about gators or anything?
We won't have to worry too much, you know, but they could be anywhere along the blues that are going to be flowing through there, but we'll probably be fine.
Okay.
There's big 10-foot gators that hang out right in front of the river camp and stuff, but there's about a 30-foot bank.
I'll need to bring a big old Zimbabwe spear so we can keep the gators at bay.
Well, me and Juanita will have our 357 Magnums. Anyways, just out there fishing or just camping or whatever.
Yeah,
we got them.
Corey, I was the one.
Moccasins and big gators.
And we were actually walking through the swamp, and I stepped on what I thought was a log, and that log went shooting out from under my feet, brother.
Yeah.
It was like a 4-foot, 5-foot gator, and I'm so glad it was more scared of me than I was scared of it. It was something else. That's just too much.
Wow. Yeah, one day I was walking through the woods, and my wife was with me, and I was just scanning down through the woods. We just got to the area where we wanted to look for some fresh sun, past this bedding area, way out in the Apalachicola National Forest, and I stepped over some sticks like nothing, just looking down through the woods, and she's like, oh my gosh, Dustin, you just stepped right over that snake. I said, nah. I looked, and there's a copperhead just coiled right up, and I stepped right over it. She couldn't believe it.
Ooh.
But who saw it? You know, that thing is about a snake. A lot of times it'll strike the second person. You know, you'll go by, and it gets alert, and it hits whatever comes by next. But we have snake boots and stuff, but that was crazy. I stepped right over it, man.
Well, you know, that's some of the perils when you're out looking for Bigfoot across this country. Snakes, bear, boar, Rocky Slavin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he sounds like he can handle the bears himself, I guess.
Yeah, he can, I'll tell you. It's the truth. You check that out on YouTube. He'll be there. Maybe he'll be there.
Yeah,
you'll get to meet him, you know.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
Heck yeah. He's a true. He reminds me of some of those guys that are on that Swamp Something show, but he's a little bit better mannered, I'd say.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's gonna be fun out there at the river camp, man. I'm gonna bring some deer meat and some hog for us. We'll be cooking. We're living good.
Hooking out, hunting Bigfoot, being with some good friends, using a whole bunch of killer gear, and trying to.
Oh yeah, we're gonna be right. Right, smack dab center in their travel ways, too, back in there. Right where
well, you
we
know, you're
going to
help your way probably around, I think it's the 14th, 15th, 16th fall.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we were planning.
Okay. You know, we can't wait to get out there, Dustin. Make sure, folks, you get over to Christian Faith Publishing and purchase Dustin Trudhope's book. Or is it on Amazon now, Dustin?
You can get it on Amazon. You can get it all over. If you Google it, it'll come up. But, I mean, you can order it through Barnes & Noble if you want or a lot of different stores.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
We're cutting out 15 minutes, and we're going to hit a little commercial, pay some bills. And, Dust, I want to thank you. And Marco will come back with whoever you got on next.
All right. Well, thank you,
well,
TJ.
We got Lee and Ken from Michigan.
We got who?
Jody and Ken from Michigan.
All right, we'll hit Jody, then we'll hit Ken up last.
Got it. Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we are back, and Jody is on.
Jody, yeah. How are you, honey? Welcome back.
Well,
to the
I'm doing. This must have been hell, you know.
What?
And I wanted to talk about my friend that died. About the truth, you know, like I told you about the Men in Black. They came.
Yeah.
In April 4th that time. And the second time around, you know, that time. But my friend I wanted to talk about years ago, what happened to him. Because he stood up for the truth. And then he went crazy. They did something to him. And now he's dead. He killed himself. Or they did it. Or the Men in Black. However, they tortured him. They separated two of them, Ryan and John. And he was a good man. He was a young man at the time. In his early 20s. We grew up together. And this stuff happened to him. I just want the truth out there. I know you guys talk about the fire. Me and James just talking. You know, we've been so close to the darn thing you could shake its hand. We stood 5 minutes one time beside it, you know. But I know he wanted the truth out there. John Boy did. And it needs to be out there. Because I miss him, and he died a horrible death. Because he was tortured.
Who was he tortured by, Jody?
Those people. By the Men in Black, they separated him and Brian. And Brian was the one I reckon caved in and said he would do what they said, you know. But then he told us, and then he got us together, told us what happened. He would pull, after he come back, he was missing there for a while. He would pull off his clothes and act real crazy and say they did this to him and that, and he was holding his, showing his ass. And I mean, it was, he just went nuts. It was like, he wouldn't even cash his paychecks no more. He was a foreman of our company. You know, he was a good young man. And we were both around the same age at the time, back in the early 20s. You know, and I know how these things work. Me and James was just talking about that. You know, we stood beside it at night when it jumped the creek, and it stood there 5 minutes right beside us. I mean, we could touch it. You know, but John Boy, he wanted the truth out there too, and he went to the secret base, and they separated him, what he saw, and Brian, and they tortured John Boyd because he stood his ground. He stood it. And I reckon, I don't know, that's why they come and haunt me, because I stand my ground. I'm stubborn like he is. But I don't want them to come and get me either.
They're not going to come get you. We're going to make sure. We got Leo, and we're coming out to see you. We're going to make sure that we'll get there, and we'll stand our ground right next to you, darling. You don't worry about that.
You know, because he took gun. He blew. I don't know if he did it or if they killed him.
When was this, Jody?
This was way back in the early 80s.
Early 80s. Happened. Okay. I was concerned that this just recently happened by you. Okay. So this
and, I just keep thinking about him because of the stories and what he was saying after we found him. He come back, you know. It was like he was never the same. That he wasn't alive long after that. The last time I saw his face, I knew he was going to die. I could see it. And he did. With a gun. And I don't know if they killed him, but I know they did horrible things to him. That's why I want to meet the guy that you said that was taken by them in a blood. I am a woman. I know. And I'm stubborn as hell. And I have stood by next to Bigfoot, me and Jane, in the dark. It leaped over the creek and stood right beside us for 5 minutes. I mean, I'm not joking. When I say you could touch it, you really could touch it. That's how close.
Mm-hmm.
And the fires, we hear it chatting, talking, like you can't understand it. And they charge us, yes. We love to have roast weenies outside, you know, hot dogs and stuff, and in the little Cotton Creek, Kentucky. And here they come running, you know, they would chat first. They'd talk and make plans. You could hear them talking, but it sounded like human, but you couldn't understand them. But boy, when they charged, you knew they were coming. And I know what they could do. And I know the markings when they break trees. And I know what that all means. I know I quit school. I wasn't smart. But when it comes to nature, you got to watch it and study it. Because you got to listen to it. Because it does talk to you. You understand it, you know, if you really pay attention. And I know their markings bend over trees and markings in their time, this and that. A lot of times that's their crossing. They don't want you to cross that area. You know, because you're going to get hell, you know. They're going to throw rocks and torture your ass and scare the crap out of you. No, I've never shot at one. I came close. But my friend that died for this, because he stood his ground, that's all I'm saying. They tortured him for days. I don't know how long, but they finally found him. And when he came home, he was never right. And I don't want that ever happen to me, because I'm speaking the truth. Jane goes, you're stubborn, dirty lie. I said, why would I lie? Why would I say, no, okay. It didn't happen. Because Jane's afraid they'll kill me. She's afraid they'll take me, because I stand my ground.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, they're emotionally scaring the hell out of me, and I think they're breaking me down that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know how to handle it.
Jody, why do you think they're still bothering you?
Excuse me, what?
Why do you think they're still bothering you?
These things have bothered me for years. I don't know why. They picked me. I don't know why. Since I was a child, even younger, like I said, teenager, I've seen them. And I told you, I think I've told y'all, we've hit one with a car, me and my friends, and then we couldn't find it.
No, we never.
It was like it was like they didn't even hurt it. We hit the hip of it when it leaped in the road. But like Jane, she's now 69, and I'm in my early 50s. And she says, boy, I took her for a hell of a ride. She goes, I've known you for 30 years, and I've seen things that I have never seen. I just said, I told you, you know, it's out there. But I know these men in black are real, and I know they will kill you, and I know they will hurt you. And that guy you told me about that was taken. I want to know what happened to him, and I want to know what they did to him. Because if it happens to me, I want to know how to handle it.
Oh, you're talking about Rocky when the men in black took his father. Well, you know, he's already off, but we can have him on next week talking to you about if he's available. What do you think?
Yes, because I want to know how to handle something if it happens to me.
Okay, okay. You know, I completely understand. You know,
I don't
want to
live the same way, you know, as my friend.
Yeah.
And it's just hard on me.
Yeah, sure it is.
I know you guys, the fire, they love fire. Trust me, they love it where we lived. I mean, it's like, yeah, they want to join you. And I learned one thing. When I had some, there was men friends out there, they didn't, you know, some doctors and stuff, they wanted to come see this. And I said, then when they were mad, they would tear up my truck, they dented it, and that's why I told them to go in the house. I said, I'm going to try an experiment. Go in the house. Leave us women out here. And boy, did they know what I said. I knew they were there. I felt them. You could just get that bad feeling, that dread feeling. And they started messing with all their rigs. And you could hear it. I said, see? I don't know if it's men or what. I know how to do it. If you guys want to stick women out there in the woods and sit them in a chair for a while, go ahead or by a fire and go hide somewhere. Like I said, but cameras on cameras, always make sure. Cameras,
yeah.
Facing cameras, and just even fake cameras out in the open. These Bigfoot will not go in front of them. Put them out in the open, even let them see them. Then put the other ones in the trees and hide. Hide them ones in the trees, facing them cameras. You will get them. Because the men in black took ours. We had the best footage ever. When I finally learned that trick. And that's what I'm trying to tell these people out there that's doing their research and trying to find them. Just lay back and wait and learn how to do it. Don't chase them. They'll find you. Just know where their markings are and wait. And do the trick with the cameras. You'll learn it. And I've learned it real fast. And then the men in black started really showing up after I learned their tricks. And now this, the men in black found me here. That's why I'm fighting for John Boy now. It's time to talk about him. I thought, you know, he died a horrible way. I can't explain how he was. He was no drug addict. He was no drunk. He was a hard worker. The best. He was a foreman. He was the best. And it was like, I've never seen my switch when they found him so fast. So whatever they probed him with or did to him, he was never there, his mind again.
Wow. Well,
and it wasn't long right after they found him. He shot himself, or they did, because he would not stop talking. Even out of his head, he would not stop talking. So they either shot him or he shot himself. But it was a very fast closed case.
Jody, we're down to
30
seconds. We've got the last 30 seconds before we got to sign off, before we run out of time here, honey. So would you like to dedicate this show to John Boy back from back in the day?
Yes, because I think he died death because he fought for the truth.
Okay. You got it, darling. And we thank you. We thank you for coming on.
I thank you, too.
We're going to try to get Rocky Slavens on with you next week.
Yeah,
so
please. Because if this happens to me, I don't know how I'm going to deal with it if they don't take me away. I don't know what they do to you.
Darling. All right. We want to thank all our tonight. We want to let them know, and we want to especially thank Ken from up north. Sorry about that. We ran out of time. We'll have to get you back on next week. And Marco, folks, we're coming across the U.S. We're coming to see you, searching for Bigfoot team, and we look forward to meeting y'all. And we'll see you, Jody, in North Carolina. Go see you.
Okay, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Ken, I'll have you on next week, my friend. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Keep the Bigfoot knife, keep on Bigfooting. See you next week, everybody.
Good night.
No.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. What brought them together? Reason for the fact.